Hey, joining me is Mark Klipsham. Mark, welcome to the program.
How do you do, Ed? Glad to be here.
So we're going to talk about JD Vance, who I refer to as a puppet in waiting, and who's the puppeteer? Well, Peter Thiel. But first, I want to share a quote from David Sirota. I don't know if you know David Sirota. He's editor of The Lever. He wrote, "I don't find most political labels very useful. Left, right, centrist, moderate, they all mean different things to different people, and so they end up confusing the political discourse rather than clarifying it." I couldn't agree more. How about you?
We had a little discussion about this. For example, terminology. Some people equate conservatives with Republicans and liberals with Democrats. And I guess I call myself independent. I'm incredibly conservative, which has to do with the long-term implications of my actions, taking time to think about it. And then I see people call themselves Republican and currently, we're embracing very radical, rapid change, which to me is the antithesis of conservatism. So,
How about the three congressional candidates and the five state legislative candidates who just won their primary elections in New York? They were all backed by Zohran Mamdani, the mayor of New York City, and they've been criticized by the by establishment Democrats. 15 U.S. House Democrats signed an open letter saying, quote, "We are capitalists, not socialists. We are mainstream, not extreme. We are proud, not ashamed of America." Which to me is like a total deflection from the reality of what issues were trying to be addressed in that campaign. I mean, how do you see it?
well, I'm going to harp back on terminology. Capitalism, really? In New York City? No. We have corporatism. Winners and losers are picked every day. It happens to be convenient. Trump is pumping hundreds of millions of dollars into coal while shunning wind and solar, and everybody wants it. You go like, let the market decide. Why are you getting in here? That's not capitalism. That's corporatism. You've just that's you're subsidizing these things. Over and over, we have bailouts and subsidies for agriculture and businesses. It's like, that's not capitalism. That's socialism is what that is. So call it what it is. Oh no, it's a horrible word. It's the S word.
Well,
But
I
that's
mean,
what it is.
we have plenty of socialism in this country that a lot of people like: Social Security,
Yes.
roads, the U.S.
Gold.
military, public education, or at least what's left of it, and
Police,
of course,
military.
and socialism for the rich. That's like probably the most expensive price tag in terms of what we spend from the federal government on any particular activity. It's all the incredible amounts of money going to rich corporations and rich individuals. That's, I mean, it's referred to as socialism for the rich, and I think that's a pretty accurate description.
And by the way, that scale issue is what allows for, if there is fraud, it seems to be a wonderful word that's thrown bantered about. You can get away with that when you have a huge scale. You know, is Bob or Susie really handicapped? Do they really need that Social Security? Do they really need that Medicaid? Well, you can hide all kinds of places in a country of 400 million people, whereas if it's a community, it's like, no, I saw him. He had a new car, and you know, he's drinking good booze and this kind of stuff. I don't know where he's getting the money, but you go like, something's not right. When you're in a huge
You can't
country
you
like that, all kinds of stuff can happen.
yeah, you can't get away with that on a small scale.
Oh, and I'm going to harp back on the Amish again. I think they're 100 years ahead of us. It's like everybody knows, you know, there aren't no secrets. It's like there's no scandals. Well,
Well,
they're
maybe
not real
depends.
big.
I think where there are human beings, there will be scandals. But yeah, I mean, right now we've got something that seems to be agreed upon by most people on the across the political spectrum is that we've got what, 989 billionaires in the U.S., and they own more than what, 9.2 trillion, and that their wealth is up 31.8% since 2025. That's according to the Americans for Tax Fairness report. Most people are appalled by that. And yet, somehow Republicans have gotten away with pretending that they actually care and that they plan to do something about it, and they're not doing anything about it. And Democrats have just not even, I mean, they've given up trying, it seems. But now we have this new wave that seems to be making some headway in terms of reaching the average person's, addressing their concerns about this income consolidation within a handful of very wealthy people. So,
I don't see how you can do that in a capitalistic society, because a capitalistic society you have competition. And by the way, the game is who can get the biggest pile of money that I don't need. And what would I do with $1 billion? That just seems, I don't get that. And by the way, it seems to turn people kind of mean and crusty. But once again, competition, you see someone like that, someone's going to come along with a better way to slice bread or whatever, and they're going to compete with them. They don't have competition anymore. They are protected. They have a captive audience. It is corporatism. Someone has picked them as a winner. Someone has picked people as losers.
Yeah.
That is not capitalism.
No, and that's it, the whole conversation is just off track. But
Disingenuous.
here we have these 15 House Democrats saying we're moderates. And that sounds good because everybody wants to be moderate and
Yeah.
reasonable and balanced, right? But what they're really saying is our alignment is with the interests that have helped get us to be in Congress. And we know those interests are not, in line with what most people want. They're not the interests that are going to push for a tax on billionaires, for example, which like we see in California right now. So I mean, how do you see the message coming out of New York, the primary in New York? Do you see that as resonating broadly across the country? I mean, that's what Mamdani and the folks are there saying. Our message is not one that's unique to New York. It's one that will resonate with people coast to coast. Do you think are they dreaming? Or are they accurate?
I'm gonna back up a little perspective here. Like, if I were king, and for some reason I somehow got elected president, day one it would be, okay, yeah, day one, I want to talk to all the leaders in the world. There's plenty of money. There's plenty of resources. We got wars. We got strife. We got famines. Why are we doing this? This is insane. I don't know about socialism, but I want everybody to be happy. I don't want to hear on the news about how people are starving and being imprisoned and tortured. Is this the world we want? Why are we doing this? I live in the microcosm of Iowa. We live in a toxic cesspool biodesert. I know why. It's because Big Ag came in, got rid of all the diversity, funded all the campaigns, liberal, Democrat, moderate, whatever. They are beholden to them. And by the way, now that it's election time, we're all of a sudden worried about water quality. It's like, well, really,
Well, we
you
ought
have
to
a lot
be.
of time to deal with this. It hasn't been
Every
going.
place in the country ought to be concerned about water quality, but in Iowa, it's connected to the fact that we are what, the second highest state in the country for cancer and the only one with a growing cancer rate, I believe. But I want to ask you this, Mark. I think our criticism, I mean, we're not exactly on the same page. I think we're close, and I think our criticism is applicable to Democratic and Republican administrations. Probably more so under this current leader than ever before. But I know a lot of people, they only focus on Trump. If we can get rid of Trump, everything will be wonderful. I don't see that as be I think that's delusional. You have J.D. Vance in the wings, and who put J.D. Vance in power? Well, Peter Thiel. He's the venture capital, millionaire from California. And his views are extremely anti-democratic. I mean, he is vocally and clearly and outspokenly anti-democratic. And this guy, I mean, I see J.D. Vance as more dangerous than Trump because he's less off the wall. He's less, less, less. He's less uncontrolled. But also, he's a puppet to this guy, who basically is fine with ending democracy.
Miller, same thing. You know what the base of the Statue of the Liberty says? Bring us your downtrodden, your it's asylum seekers. And that the United States is now closed to people Oh, you mean to tell me we're not going to these other countries to free them from their horrible conditions? It's like that is so incredibly disingenuous. And he's another Heritage Foundation operative.
You mean Stephen Miller, the
Right.
whatever the other puppeteer.
Well, useful idiots. The end that's I foresee from history is not good. Vance, on the other hand, is so unattractive. I don't care what he looks like. People just don't like him. I don't like him. He just seems so nasty and mean. Trump has this kind of hypnotizing preacher voice, and we're gonna do this. Da, da, da. Vance, on the other hand, just mean. I don't. What happened to him?
And Trump is not mean.
Like I said, he's got the circus barker, the con man thing going, the preacher thing. He mesmerizes people, not me,
No, and
but
I think J.D. Vance has the same capacity and will refine that over time. The poor guy who was used to be an atheist and came to his senses and became a Catholic. Again, what's important is who's behind the scenes.
came to a path, came to a Catholic and disparages the Pope.
Right, exactly. Yeah, well,
Like what?
But I mean, I just see that it's the man behind the curtain. And again, you point out Stephen Miller. Good point.
The Heritage
I think,
Foundation is the man behind the curtain.
yeah, and again, Stephen Miller, the Heritage Foundation, Peter Thiel, they're all one of the same mind in terms of their philosophy of government. And it is emphatically and clearly and statedly non-democratic. It's anti-democratic.
Well, and the part that really, really scares me is it sure seems like they thought that the warning about the apocalypse was the game plan. Let's burn fossil fuels. Let's have wars. Let's just be mean. We're going to send people back to countries that they wouldn't want to step in for one second. The asylum seekers, TPS. It's like you're going to send those people back to there. That you're Christians? I don't get that at all. Once again, terminology. We're Christian. Well, please act like what Jesus taught. I would be totally on board with that. And I'm not seeing that at all.
Yeah, and one thing with Peter Thiel, I mean, he's basically he maintains that human technology and science have slowed down. He champions what's called, quote, definite optimism, this idea that humanity can only be saved from collapse by visionary pioneers undertaking these massive engineered breakthroughs, and that's all connected to a kind of a an apocalyptic view of human existence. Yeah.
Or instead of having more people, we could decrease our population back to where we could actually have capitalistic societies and communities as opposed to huge hives.
Yeah.
By the way, the Harris thing, if she had won, my take is we would just have a slower decline. It'd be a nicer decline, but ultimately we're going to end up with
Kinder
more
and
people.
gentler decline. I like
Yes,
that.
exactly. I was like,
Yeah.
the end, it's Rome. We are Rome 2.0. We consume way more than we need. We're little Twinkie princesses. No, we are.
Yeah.
And the people like in Iran, just in this, it's like you're talking about people and people's lives and people's countries. And if
Well,
anybody did that to you, you would be absolutely outraged. But you blithely say, destroy their civilization and kill everybody.
Mark,
It's
I
like,
gotta run. I gotta run to a break, and I think Twinkie Princess is a great note to run to a break on. So, Mark Klipsch, folks, thank you, Mark, for joining us.
my pleasure.